The last couple of years I had, for better or for worse, I hope it's for better, I think it's for better. The last couple of years, for better or for worse, I had the opportunity and the privilege to travel more. You know, I work for most of the year, spend a lot of time camp-related things, and I work from home, and sometimes it means having to come to the States traveling. And you know, when you're on the road, you're on the road. Being far away from home is always difficult. Being in transit from place to place is difficult. Not being in one's regular place is difficult. Feeling far from family, being far physically from family, even for just a week or whatever, it comes with a set of challenges. It also has great opportunity, because when we're on the road, you know, in between place to place, we get to be a little bit like the first Jew, like Avram Avinu. First thing we learn about Avram Avinu is Hashem tells Avram, Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha. That there's such a thing as a Jew in transit, and that part of discovering one's Yiddishkeit, and kind of discovering the path that Hashem is laying out for us, is in the process of Lech Lecha, of going. So, you know, those are the practical side of like schlepping. There's a schlep when you go, when you travel. If you get the way home, I'm schlepping like, you know, to the gram, to the ounce of Amazon and Old Navy, God knows what else, my daughter's. But, you know, there's only a certain amount of stuff you can carry around with you when you travel. And a couple pairs of tefillin, a couple pairs of clothing, whatever. And always like, before I leave, like, what's safer to take, you know? Not sure which form to take. So sometimes I take the Otzros HaYehudim, which is like the Breslau version of the Dvar Malchus, which is basically the Lubavitch version of like the Vayu Torah to go or whatever. It has a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, a little daily Gemara, a little daily Chumash. And I'm like, okay, but I'm not learning that. I was learning Daf Yomi, so I took the Daf Yomi with me. And realized very quickly these last couple of years that the loneliness of the road and the difficulty of being outside of one's place really, really that void is only able to be filled with a real sincere turning to Hashem. And for me, and I know for many others, the one, the voice, the mashpia, the madrich, who really helps direct us toward revealing our inner voice on our Lech Lecha moments of like in between places and not sure if we're coming or going and where we are exactly in the world, the one who really helps us hone in on ourselves and Hashem to enable us and to empower us to realize that even in a crowded room and even among friends and even among family and also at home, it's really just us and Hashem, is Rav Nassim Breslover, Rabbi Natan. Rav Nassim is Rabbeinu's primary disciple, main Talmud, and I wanted to share, I thought this summer, a couple times we'll have a chance to learn together, to share from this sefer, Alim L'Shrufa, which is the collected letters of Rabbi Nassim. They're often letters that he wrote when he was traveling. So let's just learn the Hakdama. We'll just start a little bit tonight with the Hakdama, and if we have time to jump into one letter. The Hakdama, the one who put this together, was Reb Nachman Shirin. Reb Nachman Shirin left the world just at the beginning of the 20th century. Bless you, in 1894. The first generation of Talmidim after Reb Nassim. Today was the Yahrzeit of Reb Leib Yitzchak Bender, who in the last generation was really one of the Baalei Mesorah of Breslov. A Talmid of Reb Nachman Shirin. Nachman Shirin was a disciple of Rav Nassim. He was known as the Shirin Rav. At a certain point, he kind of distanced himself a little bit from Rav Nassim. Things were really volatile and really unstable in those days in Breslov. There's a lot of opposition. There's a lot of isnagdut to Breslov. There's a lot of hassle and politics around it, and it was very challenging to hold on to Rabbi Nachman and to kind of stick with it. And at a certain point, the Charina Rav, who was like a person who was a posek and a goan in learning, he just backed away. And when Rav Nachman left the world, so the Charina Rav felt like that he'd missed out. That there's a part of him that he felt like he'd missed that opportunity. So he spent his last years compiling a lot of Torah from Rav Nachman, Eitzos, and writing a commentary, a super commentary to it. So this is his words as the Malachi, as the one who pulled together a lot of Rav Nachman's letters. Amar Malachi, if you do a Masha Darsha Rav Asena Zechon Avracha, you know that what Chazal tell us on Parshas Pinchas, Hashkacha Pratis, we're here, Parshas Pinchas, and I knew there was going to be Parshas Pinchas this week when we started it, so I'm like, you know, sometimes these things work out really well. Okay. You know what Chazal tell us on Parshas Pinchas, Masha Kodesh Baruch Amar L'Moshe Al Yeshua, the way God Himself praised and said to Moshe Rabbeinu about Yehoshua ben Nun, his Talmud Muva, that Yeshua harbe sheirascha, Yehoshua ben Nun served you, varbe chalak lecha kavod, and Yeshua as the quintessential Talmud, Yeshua showed you great honor. And he would get up in the morning and he would be first man in and last man out, meaning he didn't miss an opportunity. He was the one, the Talmud, who was Mishares Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say that he would like arrange the seats and arrange the benches in the Beit Medrash. And other Mamari Chazal pointing out that Yehoshua ben Nun was not necessarily the wisest in the generation. He didn't have the best IQ. He didn't do the top in the BJEs in Talmud. He didn't nail his Toshba Bagriot, or whatever the equivalent is. By the way, he wasn't the one who had the greatest in learning in the generation. He was the greatest in Ratzon in the generation. He had the greatest in will. And he wouldn't stop. He was relentless in his desire to cleave to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Yehoshua ben Nun was so dedicated in his dveikus and his servitude to Moshe Rabbeinu and his bittul to his Rebbe, kedayu sheyishamesh es Yisrael she'inu ma'abed tzchara. It is because Yehoshua ben Nun was so dedicated to his Rebbe, and Hashem told Moshe, look, you see his desire, his will to learn from you and to connect to you. So he is the one who is right to be the leader. In other words, if the teacher is a student, then he's right to be a teacher. If he's a Talmud, then he can be a Rebbe. That's what it means to be a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham means a student of a wise person. That person, unless a person can become a student of a wise person, see, he can't be a teacher, he can't be a leader. So Hashem says to Moshe, Kach l'chas Yehoshua ben Nun. Take Yehoshua ben Nun as your student, as your Talmud. As the Pasuk says, Shlomo Melech teaches us, Notzer te'ena yochal periya, that the keeper of the fig tree, the one who maintains it, who prunes it and keeps it and takes care of it, he'll enjoy his fruit. I mean, the one who ministers, right, the one who serves will be honored. He's acquired for himself a master. And this is not about the Baal Shem Tov, this is about Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua ben Nun. The notion of being mevatel to a Rebbe and following and serving and cleaving to him. The Gemara Bracha says, Gadol Shimusha Milimudah, there's more that could be acquired through attending to the needs of a tzaddik and cleaving to a tzaddikim, tzidkanios, than learning their actual Torah. It's not about the content of what they're downloading, it's not about the vorts that they're saying, but it's about the way that they're being in the world. V'nikam anachnu, says the Charina Rav. And same as by us. V'nikam anachnu eila po ayom b'dor senu eila. Us and our generation. And this is Rav Nosson ABC. This is 101. This is Rabbi Natan 101. That everything is personalized. Nothing is theoretical. Nothing is existential and disconnected. Everything is personalized. Everything is integrated into my personal experience right now. It's what's called in the outside world spiritual reading. Learning, not just learning history or learning ideas that are mufshat from another, but this is talking to me. That's what Rav Nachman's whole thing was, taking Rabbi Nachman's Torahs and turning them into personalized tefillahs that apply to us, how to integrate it into my life right now, right here. So this is what the Charina Rav is doing about his Rebbe, Rav Nachman. This is
ABCs.
We it's not just talking about Moshe and Yeshua and Sefer in Parshas Pinchas, but we ourselves have seen the way Reb Nosson Zichron Lebracha, the way Reb Nosson was mekayim it. Imamish neskayim bo lo mash mitocha ohel. He never left the tent. Olo shel Torah. Reb Nosson never left the tent of Torah, the place of learning, day and night learning Torah. Shel Rabbeinu. He never left his Rebbe's side. Or how wrote the light of lights, Baruch Timoran. Amir Rav Nosson Zechut Tzadik Livracha. Ki mamish hayadavak umakushrei lavis. Kashos advekas amiti. He was literally cleaving to him with mysterious nefesh, of self-sacrifice, with real dvekas, of a bitil hargoshos atzmo. He put himself aside and totally took upon the anhagos of his Rebbe. The way Rav Nachman describes it, the way the sun shines into the moon doesn't give off its own light. That's Megarma Lakum. The moon doesn't give off its own light. Yeshua ben Nun was reflecting the light of his Rebbe, the Moshe Rabbeinu, the light of the Tzaddik. Lagamre, lagamre, b'chol tino asav. Hamase, v'dibur v'machshava. In thought, in action, in speech. The Shivta b'veso in his house, in his own personal private life. Of v'lechtcha b'derech. And when he was out in the street in public. When he was going to sleep, when he was awake. As you see the way that Shirin Rav is framing this, before we even get into what we're learning, understand what's being asked of us. And this is what I'm davening for us. That we don't just learn these Torahs, we're not just learning ideas. There's so many ideas to learn, and like Uncle Moshe sings, so much to learn, Rabbi. All the svarim in the library. I mean, there's so much here. It's so much. It could be crushing. Huh? What am I going to do? I mean, when I go to Tosus Rid? Well, no, I'm saying, Tosus is looking at me here. He's saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? And the set of Ritva's there is looking at me. And the Rashba is looking at the Shitimukul Betzek. I mean, and there's volumes and volumes and volumes of svarim here that are Gaone and Tzadiki Olam. And we want to learn all of them. We want to learn all of it. I want to know it all. I want to do it all. The Meiri, 15 volumes of Meiri. When's that happening? I mean, you know, all of this. I want all of it. I want all of it. I want all of it. But whatever it is that we're learning of it, it's a Chumash Rashi in the sixth parasha, or it's Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, or it's a Tosafot of Meiri, or whatever it may be. I want that to be integrated into me. I want that to be something which is really a part of me, not just an idea, not just another idea. So the first thing we have to do is to like just know what's happening here. There's, when we're learning Torah, the sun is shining onto the moon, and we want to reflect that. There has to be a little bit of, you know, to receive when you're pouring from a pitcher into a cup. You have to hold the cup a little bit lower than the pitcher. The cup is very beautiful and very nice. It could be a silver goblet with all sorts of jewels on it, it can be fancy. And you can pour the best wine into it, but if the cup is not lowered a little bit, then they can't receive. To receive, we have to know where we are. So the first things first here, in the chain of Masorah, we have to know that we're looking to receive something from a tzaddik. We want it to be integrated. And as Moshe Leib Sassover explains, the story of Yosef HaTzaddik, putting the goblet and the cup and the knapsack, his brother's knapsack, and the whole Maisa of Mitzrayim, in order to like ultimately reveal the yichud between brothers. He says, "Kol mish nimtza gavia biyado hu yeli la'eved." The one who the cup is in his hand, he's going to be my eved. He's going to be my servant. Whoever knows how to hold the goblet, gavia biyado, knows how to hold the cup. In other words, to lower it down a little bit, hu yeli la'eved. A person will know how that person can be an Eved Hashem. In other words, a little bit of bittul.
Is he purposely writing it like Shema?
Maybe. You see this language, this refrain. Thank you for asking that. That refrain comes up a lot. A lot. And the truth is, he's taken it right out of Reb Nosson's letters. Reb Nosson writes this all the time. Reb Nosson's entire essence was tefillah. So Reb Natan wrote Likutei Halachos, which is based on the teachings of Likutei Moran. Okay, let's make Seder here. Likutei Moran, Reb Nachman's teachings. Every teaching, the goal was not just to have ideas, but to translate these ideas, all this Torah content, into prayer, to integrate it. Prayer is the process of integrating these Torah ideas into me, myself. Va'ani tefillah. To become prayer. The Torah should be integrated from the mind to the heart to affect our actions, our thoughts, our feelings, our essence. So Reb Nosson's language in Likutei Halachos is kind of expressing the inner working of that Torah. In Likutei Tefillos, which is a book of Reb Nosson's personal prayers, of his outpouring of the soul in his own words, profound and extraordinarily beautiful tefillos that just, you know, after David HaMelech, I don't know if there's such a thing in the world, a person just so open, so honest, and so real, and so raw, and so vulnerable, so there, Amish, there. So that Reb Nosson, in writing these letters, uses a lot of language of tefillah. Shach, Bachal, Kumo, you know, here, there. The language of, you see, like often language from Aleinu he takes, and language from Modim when he expresses his appreciation, and language of, you know, different piyutim, and different, also from benching, it comes up a lot. And I was like, that's the way that we express, you know, like when I write cards to my wife, you know, Nachum speaking Mahodos, you know, like those things come out sometimes. Now, that's very beautiful if we're owning it, you know. If it's just like quoting from here, quoting from there, I remember when I was in YU, the first time I heard this. I remember, like, I was sitting in the YU library like this. I'm on the fourth floor of the library. I was listening to my Walkman for Moshe Weinberger giving a talk at the RCA convention. And it was young. It was 23 years ago when I was in YU. 22 years ago in YU, and there was already a shir that he'd given a bunch of years before. And he's talking about how, you know, the people and rabbis taking their drushas, a pasuk from here and a pasuk from there, and put it together and make a drusha out of it, and it's like pulling from here, pulling from there. But it's not integrated, it's not personal. It's not personal. So that's Reb Nosson. He was just giving Reb Nosson. So when Reb Nosson engages language of tefillah, of prayer, it's very personal. So it could be, I'm glad that you pointed out, that the Chirin Rav is also using that language to describe his Rebbe. And there's nothing more appropriate than using language of tefillah to describe Reb Nosson, because he was called Kulo Tefillah. So you have Likutei Halachos, which is the inner world of Likutei Moharan in Torah. And Likutei Tefillah are translating those ideas, those abstract ideas, into integration, into action. And then these letters that we're going to learn, Mechtavei Moharanat and Olim L'Trufa, these letters really give us a little bit of an insight into Reb Nosson's private life. See, the other stuff was written on purpose, written like specifically and consciously for publication, right? Likutei Halachot, Likutei Tefillah was written for publication. These letters, you get the real sense of Reb Nosson as a person, as a father, right? As a husband, as someone who's like going through what he's going through. It's not about him dropping Chidushei Torah and Likutei Halachos. Likutei Halachos has themes. It's thematic, it's themes, and it's bringing from Nigla and Mister and Zohar, and it was his magnum opus, and he edited it. He wrote it and edited it and proofread it, and then again and again and again. But these letters are letters. They're letters that are written on the road. And on the road, Tzchosha Da'orcha, a person like your real self comes out, tired and hungry and away from your family and this tzara and that tzara, and a lot of these letters are written to his son. A lot of these letters are written to his son, Rabbi Yitzchak. And they're called Alim L'Trufa. Alim L'Trufa, I mean, literally, it's a pasuk from, you take a look at the next page. Alim L'Trufa literally means healing leaves. It's a pasuk in Yechezkel that, paraphrased, paraphrase means the pasuk says that, you know, the nachal, the brook, the flowing water, will give the fruit trees life. And the flowing water will give life to the trees, and the leaves of those trees will provide healing. That's what Yechezkel Navi says. And the Nachal is a remez to Rabbi Nachman, who is known as the Nachal Novea Mekor Chachma. Nachal Novea Mekor Chachma, who was like the source of flowing water, that was the source of wisdom. It's a pasuk from Mishlei. Nachal Novea Mekor Chachma, Rosh Tevos Nachman. So the Nachal, Rabbeinu, Rabbi Nachman, was providing, you know, sustenance, vitality, life, by being this flowing source of wisdom and chios, life, that brought to the fruit trees his students. And the leaves that came from those trees, the leaves are the letters that were written, like the paper, as the leaves are alim l'trufa, or healing leaves, healing quality in those leaves. So the name of the collection of letters are healing leaves, which are really like, the imagery is very beautiful. The root of the chios, the root of the chizuk, the root of the ideas that come from this, from these letters, really the vitality that came from the water that sustained the trees, and the branches that emerge from those trees, and the leaves that provide the healing are a direct result of the connection to the Nachal, who was Rabbi Nachman.
It's also the Kodei itself, right? That's also
exactly
the letters,
and also that's also again a very practical. Formal, because it's a very formal. Right, it's organized. They're organized. It's thematic. You can look up. You can look it up. Yeah, you can look it up, and it's according to Kavod, Achila, Shabbos, Tzaddik. It's organized. It's edited, and it's his own writing that was edited specifically for publication. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you hear a rabbi speak in shul, someone who gives like a formal lecture, right? They're getting up there, and everybody fills the auditorium to hear the lecture, to hear the shir, to hear the shmuz, the sicha, and they have notes, and it's prepared, and they have 45 minutes to give it, and it's being putting on Y Torah or on Torah Anytime or whatever, and the makoros are going to be uploaded so you can learn along with it and everything like that, and he has notes because he's going to compile it into a notebook and it's going to be written up for a shir. It's very formal and it's very frontal and it's very good. And if they're good, it's rehearsed. Looked it over. Revolbi, before he gave a shmuz, Revolbi would prepare and prepare and prepare. He'd write notes, he'd go for a walk, he'd daven over it, sleep on it, write, look at the notes again, correct them, edit them, and Lubavitch Rebbe would say, Fabrengen, it was organized in his head in an incredible way, and then it was written down by the Vad Hanachas HaTmimim, a group of people who memorized the words, and then they'd submit their notes to like the main editor, put them together, give it to the Rebbe, the Rebbe would look at it, edit it, mark it up, give it back to the Vad Hanachas HaTmimim, give it to him. And then you have dozens and dozens of volume of shmuzin. But it was very systematic. It was very formal. Olim Latrufa from Rav Nosson are just his letters. Letters to his son. To his son who was going through a divorce. To his son who was unemployed. Right? To his chevra who were being thrown out of their schools and shuls because of their hiskashas to Rav Nachman. People who were suffering from poverty and from conscription. Right? People whose kids were going off the derech. People who didn't have shalom bayis. Or suffering from illness, he'd write these letters, like these letters of just this outpouring of his love and his of his soul on paper. I just read the Rabbi Zlatowitz book. It's really Besser, his beautiful biography of Rabbi Zlatowitz, so I didn't really know that much about. And there's two parts to this person. A part of the book where they talk about all the things that he wrote, and the Perush on this, and the art school book on that. Okay, it's very good, it's beautiful. Torah revolution changed the world of Torah study, it's believable and everything like that. And it was very beautiful and very powerful. Okay. Showing, you know, Ad Kan, it's beautiful. It didn't break my heart. And it was inspiring, but it didn't break my heart. When he had excerpts in there of emails that he wrote to employees, somebody that he had to fire, and follow up with an email to that person, or somebody who went on maternity leave, and he wrote a letter to that person's mother, thanking them and complimenting them on their child. And he wrote a letter to a person who was going through a hard time, and he said, I also went through a hard time, and I also struggled, and I also didn't have parnasa, and I also was divorced, and I also had a hard time in life. Like, those letters broke my heart. Like, those are the ones where I put a little post-it note to, like, come back to remember it. Because you can see how a person is when they're talking from the gut, when they're writing a letter informally, not when it's necessarily going to be given to an editorial board for publication. So it's interesting, at a certain point in Rav Nosson's life, toward the end of his life, he remarks in one of the letters to Rabbi Yitzchak, to his son, that he should hold on to these letters. So I'm not such an academic or historian to like go back and try to examine, you know, what the difference between those letters and when he said, you know, write it versus hold on to it. But I'll tell you, I write letters to my family. I write letters to my wife all the time. I write letters. I write letters to myself. I journal for years. I've been journaling for the past 8 years. You know, I could tell. I know there's a real difference from when I'm writing, just writing l'shem, you know, manifesting my inner world on paper and externalizing whatever I'm struggling with, versus like, yeah, I hope my kids find this one day because this is a really good one, you know, like, this is a really danky letter, like, you know, I'm like or this thing, like our daughter went to Poland this year, right? The 11th grade, they're taking to Poland, right? So like, you have to write a letter, this dramatic letter, you know, this minute. To give them like some vulnerable time on the trip. Whatever, okay. It's also good, but I'll take what I can get, you know. If I'm telling you what I davened over that letter that I wrote, you know, I'm saying like I davened over that letter, and I'm like imagining, you know, what this letter is going to be. They're going to save it, great grandchildren to find it, and they find it. Okay, you know what I can tell you, you know what can I tell you. But the letters that I get from my kid, or the daughter writes from sleepaway camp, or the little thank you notes that they write and leave in the bathroom, or the little notes that we put in the lunch, my wife writes, like, that's when you give over the real soul. Not when there's like a, I want to make a formal announcement here about our family policy regarding talking about what we're going to order online at the Shabbos meal. I don't want anybody to discuss. We're not going to, for the sake of Kedusha Shabbos, we're not going to discuss what we're ordering on Amazon Prime tonight after Shabbos. I make these like drastic statements, like read from Yichud Shabbos. I make these like ridiculous, you know, like United Nations speeches, like nobody's paying attention. And I'm like, but for me, like, I sit there, you know, I do everything but put my shtender there and like put on a tie to make an address. No one cares, no one's listening. The formal top-down interactions are one thing. The letters that we're going to read together in this Sefer are just from bottom up. It's just inside world given over. Just as an example, on Daf Hey here, the second page, just something as an example, the way Rav Nassim's writing, he writes these letters to his son. So the Chirina Rav just tells us a little bit in Hakdama, who's this guy Yitzchak? Who's his son? You know? What was his son? Like, what was his son all about? Anybody know anything about Rav Yitzchak Nassim's son?
A lot of problems, right?
He had a rough go, yes. He had a difficult time. He had a very difficult, meaning like just based on what we know from the letters, Rav Nassim talking to him, there was a lot of difficulty. The way Rav Nassim writes to him all the time is never lecturing and never telling him, you know, theoretical ideas, never pointing out, you know, ha'aros, but sharing, you know, sharing his personal, his struggles and telling him how much he loves him. This is like, you know, the most unbelievable insights into parenting in chinuch 200 years before everybody's catching on and making a lot of money at seminars about how to, like, you know, deal with kids who are going through things. Rav Nassim's just writing to his son how much I love you and how much we have to just have emunah pshuta and how much we just have to believe in the little bit that we can do. And that I also struggle with Torah and I also can't think straight and I'm also going through what I'm going through. Also don't have parnasa. Meaning, like, the vulnerability, the openness here is extraordinary. So the Chirin Rav writes, Machmas ki elu mechtavim rubam kekulam. Most of these letters, mimash eshiv levno achasid, the letters that he wrote to his son, achasid, mein Rav Yitzchak zal. Veinu lahaz ki mektat shvachos shal Rav Yitzchak. Because it's also like almost like the refuah before the makkah here, because so much of what of these letters that Rav Nassim's responding to, we don't see the letter that he wrote to him. But their letters are always like chizuk back to him saying, you know, yeah, you're going through the ringer right now and things are really rough right now. You don't have money and you don't have food and you don't have this. You don't have a job. You don't have a wife. Everything, dafuk, up like you can't believe. You can only imagine what Rav Yitzchak was writing. Chirin Rav was saying, just understand how this person was. Haya ishtam v'yashar yireel kim menu Rav. He's a tmimistic person. He was a yashar. This is the greatest compliment in Breslov. The greatest compliment you could say about a person is a tam. The person who stayed in his lane. The person with the moon on Yirat Shamayim. And the struggles that he expresses on paper are not a knock on him. Right? There are other movements, there are other streams, there are other parts of Yiddishkeit where there's like this airbrushed, kind of photoshopped way of looking at people that has to look a certain way. Has to conform to a certain script, and has to, you know, you have to get rid of the zits in the yearbook that you shouldn't look back and say, when I was 16, I had pimples. Rahman al-Itzlan. has to, like, you know, airbrush just right. Breslov is the opposite. That's not impressive. That's ziyuf. It's fake. Person is what a person is. Who I am in my totality. Who we are in our totality. So that Rabbi Yitzchak writes to his father. There's not enough davening in the world to do that. That a parent begs God to just let my child be honest. My child just turn to me when they need me. Just let my kid know that I want to help, that I'm here to help them. Let me just be straight with them. Like, what else does the parent want? You don't want the kid to be perfect? No, you want the kid to just know that whatever they are, I love you and just be with me. Let me be with you. Let me just, like, trust our relationship enough and the unconditional love that I have for you enough. Just say it to me. Who can have that honest conversation with their parents? How many of us could just say it straight? What we're going through, not, I didn't do so well in my chemistry final. But in the deepest places, in the deepest places of the internet history, in the deepest places of what's going on in our self-doubt and our pain and the loneliness, to really put it out there. Ma, it's very, very difficult between parents and children. But in the world of Rabbi Nachman's world, where a person who's not speaking to Hashem in their own words every day is not really alive. He says we're not alive. We can go through a whole day, but if we don't talk to Hashem straight, not with a sitter, not in benching, but straight words to Hashem, we don't really sense our existence and the fact that we're alive. It's like, if we don't open up that avenue of real talk with God, then we're not going to be able to do that with other people. And if we're not embarrassed or ashamed or afraid to really say to Hashem what's really happening with us, and the spots, and the simchas, and the joy, and the positivity, and the hurt, and how are we expected to do that with our parents? This, more than anything for me, these letters are a beautiful glimpse into what a relationship with children, with parents and children can be. The Rabbi Yitzchak's writing, pouring his guts out on paper to his father about what he's going through. An adult! Not a 4-year-old, but an adult! Who is an Ish Yeriel Kim, a Talmud Yashar, Asak B'Torah, Asak Harbei B'Torah, Avodas Hashem Kol Yamav. And he was in the world. He actually worked in a post office. The letter that he writes, like, eights is like, what should I do in the post office? You know? So if nothing says what you do in the post office, pay attention to your job. Do your job. But the stamps should be straight. Or do your job right. Chap mishnai is in between. Like, when you're at work, be at work. B'chol derechecha de'eyu. Bring kfot shamayim. Know that you're megal kfot shamayim by doing your job like a proper mensch. Put the stamp on properly. Make sure you weigh it the right way and charge the person exactly what it should be and give them the exact change error. Derech Eretz. Kol yamav lo nena mishal achirim. He never took from other people. Rak adarabah, yamahanal achirim yater mekfei yachaltov. He would do for other people constantly. Just a glimpse into this Rabbi Yitzchak. Bal tzedakos, machnes orchem. I mean, the letters of poverty. He didn't have nothing from nothing. He was a person who invited people into his house and gave whatever he had. Balmidas tovos v'yisharos, mu'urav v'das and abrios. Somebody who was doing tikkun chatzot in the middle of the night and his bodedus during the day. It's almost like he can't really be in the world. But that's not Rav Nachman's goal. Be in the world. Be with people, the job, family. Matzachim v'seichel tov v'ele elokim v'adam. The person who was in the world and got along with people. Was a person of balance. At the end of his life, anybody ever go to his kever? Anybody from Shalva? 2 years ago, our family went to Tzfas with Shalva for women, and we did a little tour in the cemetery there, and got a little feedback. You know, we went to Rabbi Yosef Karo, went to the Ariya Kodesh, the Ramak, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and then like 45 minutes by Rabbi Yitzchak. I was crying, talking about Rabbi Yitzchak, the children, my ghost was like, it was a wonderful tour. It was really meaningful. It's like, you know, I think something might have appreciated hearing a little more about the Machaber, about the Arizal. I said, but Rabbi Yitzchak, I see their svarim on the shelf, but I know Rabbi Yitzchak. I know Rabbi Yitzchak. I know they're godless, but I know Rabbi Yitzchak's pain. And I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's buried right next to Machaber, right next to Rabbi Yosef Karo. Next time you're in Tzfat, literally right next to Rabbi Yosef Karo. Anyways. The beautiful relationship that's expressed here is so tefiladik, it's so prayerful, and it's so honest, it's so bamakom. That's what I wanted to learn. But also during these days of Beinei Mitzarim, where there's such a time where we're looking to tap into and cultivate the longing and the yearning that's really happening inside of us all the time, we're just not always cued, you know, the Wi-Fi signal doesn't always click. There's other stuff going on. But like, it's always on, the Wi-Fi. It's just, you know, there's not always a chibur. But during Beinei Mitzarim, it's not like, okay, now you cry for the Mikdash. No, there's always that's happening. But now it's like there's a stronger signal. You can lock in. It's not about sadness in it, but it's about longing. It's about wanting. Let's start off with one letter. I don't remember what letter I Xeroxed. I don't have the Xerox in front of me. I'm sorry. What is it? Shinnun Hei. Okay, Shinnun Hei. There's also a Samardik letter. That's why I also wanted to do this one. I remember now. Parshas Balak. It was written during the week of Parshas Balak from the city of Berdichev. Pretty cool. It says Rav Nosson, this is a letter to his son. Ahuvi, my beloved. B'ni Chavivi, my beloved son. Neiro Yair, may your candle shine, may your light shine. I got your letter last week on Sunday. V'sasti kal kolhom v'rosi otzen shukas chaz v'zchal entos mechtav ilai v'chol pam. And I was so impressed and I was so uplifted by how consistent you are to reach out to me and to send me letters. I mean, my wife, every single day, our daughter's in camp for a week. A couple hours from here. A week. And every day, we get a letter from Huvi, we get a letter from Huvi, we get a letter from Huvi. Parent just wants to hear from their kid. I want to know you're having fun, that you're okay. And if you're not okay, I want you to say you're not okay. Don't say you're okay.
Is
yearning. Shuka means to want, to long for. Mintot mechtav elai b'chol pa'am is the consistency. Right? You're always writing to me. What he's seeing is the manifestation of his son's desire to be close to him. If you don't call your parents, if you don't call your grandma, if you don't call a person that you love and tell them I miss you, I'm thinking of you, so how do they know? What do they know? L'man tucha lehanos me'or ha'emes ha'ganos etzlenu b'chazdo nifle yisbarach shemo. Obviously reaching out to hear a good word. He wants a good word from his father. Who doesn't want a good word from the dad? He's reaching out. He wants to hear something. Tell me something good. Give me a good word. Tell me something to be mechazik. You brought me life from what you wrote to me. He didn't write to him that he did well on his test. He didn't write to him that things are going great. He's reaching out for chizuk. His father says, you gave me life. You gave me chiyus. You gave me chiyus. I tell him, this is like reminiscent of 200 years later in Rav Huttner's letters. When Rav Huttner writes to his Talmud in response to his student's letter about asking the question of Avodas Hashem and his struggle, he said, I got your letter in my hand, but it really touched my heart. Because I don't want to hear about your hatzlachos. I'm very proud of your hatzlachos. But share with me what you're going through. Share with me your struggles. Tell me what's happening. Tell me everything's awesome. Everything's awesome. How are you? Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Okay, I understand you don't want to talk to me. I understand you don't really want to share with me what's happening. Okay, say it, It's great, great, awesome, awesome, awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome is a gematria, but leave me alone. In the koch, it brought me such joy to know that what I wrote to you last time gave you a little bit of joy. It gave you a little bit of joy. I'm happy that it just made things just a little bit better. This is my whole thing, my whole purpose, my whole goal. All I want is just to make it a little bit better for you. Because you still don't even appreciate how precious every little bit is to Hashem. I don't know how far a little bit goes in a divine algorithm. Don't appreciate how much nachas Hashem has from what we do. When you give a little bit of joy, bring vitality to Yiddish neshama, to a Jewish soul who's going through something, who's embittered, who's in pain. Beguf nefesh v'mamon. He says you don't appreciate what it does in Shamayim, what it does for Hashem, when we do something for another person, physically, financially, spiritually. Me'atzmo, mishto v'yotzecha l'atzav. You do it for a yid, for a person, for their family, their wife, their kids, something. Kshemachnisim bo ezer remez v'nitzotz amiti. We just give into a person a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like inject. Kshemachnisim bo, like you give a little injection. You know when you smile at somebody, like a real smile, and like, you know, you get a real smile from someone and you smile back, like there's like, you feel like you just got like an injection, like a spiritual Botox, just kind of like just lifts everything up a little bit, just like takes out some of the wrinkles, just like gives it a little bit more, you know, a little bit of a shine, in a natural way, in a real way. Nitzotz amiti, like a real spark, you know, like a, you smile and like a real, there's a twinkle there, there's something that happens. So Rabbi Nachman writes about this, it's called Or HaChozer. When there's like a real moment between people. Maybe it's with your camper, maybe it's with your friend, maybe it's with a parent, maybe it's with a stranger on the street that you hold the door open for. Maybe it's a guy on the street you give a dollar to, and you smile at him and say, God bless you. And there's something there that the divine spark is like touched, to fan that flame a little bit, and like the person lights up a little bit. That's machnisim bo'ezu remez, like a little bit of a remez, like a reminder, a hint. Like a hint to like it's going to be okay, like this. You're not all totally alone in the world. The world is not totally trying not messed up. The world is not totally difficult. But like, there's something okay. Sometimes it happens, just like, you know, you're online and like, you know, you just like, you kind of just like let a person go, and, or you know, you're at 7-Eleven and you're making a coffee. The person there comes like, you know, they're waiting for the milk, and like you just kind of like step to the side a little bit and just kind of like say, hey, you know. Pass the sugar to them to have a sweet day, and like all of a sudden, like there's some nitzot there, some like injection of like honesty, of like, you know, we're all in this world together. So that's called a light that returns. In Kabbalah, there's like this notion of like shining a light, and then that light kind of enters that other person, and then they shine it back. It's almost like a mirror effect, and it's just bouncing back and forth. You know, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing. But often she samchu nafsho. You know what it is when you say something to a person, you give to another person, you do something for another person, and it just enlivens them, and it just like gives them like just a little bit of like a respite from the bilbul and the confusion and the exhaustion and like the day. You just like give them like a pat on the back, or even not a literal pat on the back, but like something, like some word or some expression or some, even some physical cue in their direction that just kind of ze ikir b'chinas mekayim nefesh b'Yisrael. That's what it means to literally give existence to another person. And anyone who gives existence to another person is like saving an entire world. So Rav Freifeld would say that the way that we declare Hashem is, we praise God that Hashem is Rachum v'Chanun. And just like God is Racham Mechanon, so Ata Racham Mechanon, we say them, Ve'ata Mechaya is Kulam. Hashem is the source of all life. Hashem is the Makor HaChayim. Hashem is the source of all vitality, all existence in the world. If anything exists in the world, it's because Hashem is willing it to exist. The Baal Tam writes, even the inanimate world, the table, the laws of nature are such that the table is standing, not because it's four legs, because Hashem is Mitzarev, the osios of His name, to create the physical reality of those legs and the laws of nature. And Hashem is saying, let those laws of nature right now at this moment make the table stand. Hashem is mechaya this table. Va'ata mechaya es kula. Hashem enlivens all of creation. The inanimate world, the natural world, the animal kingdom. Human beings lahavdil. Jews lahavdil. And just like God enlivens the world, ve'atem echayes kulam, every single Jew has the opportunity to be divine, to imitate Hashem, to walk in Hashem's midos, to manifest godliness and walking in Hashem's ways by being mechaya other people, by bringing life to other people. Ze'ikir b'chinas mekayim nefesh b'Yisrael she'nechshav ki'ilu ki'em olam mole. Like the Rambam quotes in the halachas of Purim, of Matanos Laniyim, that the idea of bringing Mishloach Manos to another person, or giving Matanos L'Avyonim, L'hachios Lev Nitkayim, to enliven the hearts of those who are broken, those who are downtrodden, L'hachios Ruach Shalim, to breathe life, to enliven those who feel like a Ruach Shafel, those who feel down, those who feel lowly, to lift them up. So I'm not saying to his son, it's so meaningful to me that we're experiencing this together. That you're being mechazek me by sharing, and I have the opportunity to share a good word with you. And if only we appreciated how much nachas Hashem has when there's some honest give and take between people. Like we're learning earlier this tonight in the Mar Peloshim. You always say that God is in, that Yiddishkeit introduced into the world, that man is creating the divine image and God dwells within us. Yid is a chelak alakam imal, that God is within mankind. There's a godly soul inside of us. But that God exists between people in our interactions. That's where the Shechina is. Ish v'isha. Shechina b'neihem. There's Shechina b'neihem. And it's in every relationship. We have that nitzotz amiti, that like real spark, that real connection, that real moment. It doesn't always feel good, it's always not always easy. Usaper lecha hamon hatlaos shiroim po. Yitzru hamon yiriyot. V'chol eitu v'chol adam v'chol makam roin she'ein makam levroach lanus. So if I begin to tell you about all the suffering that's going on, the suck fest that's happening where I am right now, about the difficulties, and about all the challenges and all the hardships, the chaleis all the time, the chol adam, and every single person, it's not just you that's going through it. The reality of humankind, the reality of the story of mankind in this world, shchinta begalusa, the way it is in this world, this is what it is, b'chol eis, in every place, b'chol adam, in every person, b'chol makom, and in every place. It doesn't matter where you're up to in Frumkeit, in Shmiras HaMitzvos, doesn't matter Ashkenazim, Sephardim, doesn't matter where we are, doesn't matter if you went Shana Bet, if you didn't go to seminary, doesn't matter where a person is up to, b'chol eis, all the time, b'chol adam, in every person, b'chol makom rom, in every place, there's no escape. She'ein makom livroach. There's no, you can't run away anywhere. There's no place to escape. Lanus. There's no place to run away. There's no place to, you can't run, you can't hide. The front lines are everywhere. Kim Hashem yizbarach la'Torah kadosha. You can only turn to Hashem. We could try. We use television as an escape. We use Netflix as an escape. We use drugs or food, or people pursue all sorts of other things. Shopping. We try to fill that God-sized hole in our heart with all sorts of stuff. People try to fill it with gambling and with sex and with money and with power and with ego, or even with, you know, even with being smart. We try to fill it with all sorts of things. That the thing is, like David Sachs from LA once said, like if there's a God-sized puzzle piece right in the middle, the puzzle, the jigsaw piece there, it's exactly the Ribbono Shel Olam. You try to put everything in it, it doesn't quite fill that spot. It's just the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's just Hashem. It's not talking about God. It's to Hashem. Talking to Hashem. It's learning Torah and talking to Hashem. It's the only thing. That's the answer all the time, everywhere. You have a million great stories and great vorts and great horas and gematrias and whatever else. And chizukim from Chassidus and Pnimius and this one and that one. And the end of the day, it's all bottom. The bottom line is the bottom line. Kim Hashem Yisparach Ola Torah HaKadosha. Yes, I'm Izay Yefshar La'arich Klal. More than this, there's nothing more. I can't really say more. Mirtz Hashem, God willing, and this is by all of us. We get to Uman, we'll be able to write a little bit more. Divrei Avicha, Hametzapa L'Rotcha V'Chaim V'Shalom V'Simcha. Written from your father, who looks forward to seeing you alive, at peace, filled with joy. Nasan Mibreslev. Hashem should help us that we know that we can turn to our Father and express anything, and that our Father is going to turn to us. That Hashem is always waiting to hear from us. Hashem is always waiting to answer us with a good word, with a good chizuk. And that word is just to appreciate the little bit that we're able to do. The smach nafshecha ktzat. The smach nafshecha ktzat. If you think about what today was a day filled with mitzvahs, filled with kod shamayim, filled with chasadim, filled with mila tova, filled with midos tovos for every person here, filled with lahachios liv nitkayim, filled with lahachios ruch shvalim, filled with fiat mechayas kulam, filled with imitatio day, filled with v'chol derechecha te'eyu. We should feel so good about ourselves. And turn to Hashem, learn a little bit Torah, and turn to Hashem, turn to our Father, and to write our own letters to Hashem. And Emirat Hashem will be Zoche by the time we get to Uman. We'll have a little more time by Arichos, or whatever. Or wherever we get to next, we'll be able to have a little bit more Arichos. And to continue to daven along with Reb Nassim, Hashem should help us that the koach of being, of drawing close to Tzadikim, Amitiyim, we should be able to reflect the light of the sun into the world. Tzchus of Yehoshua ben Nun, Tzchus of Reb Nassim, all the Tzadikim Amitiyim, we should be able to be to know how roy we are to reflect their light in this world as well. Erev Shabbos.